Hello and welcome to the Box Seat Podcast. You're looking to anything and everything sports related. I'm Alec Dietz.
I'm Andy Yamashita.
And I'm Chris Ankiko. And today, we'll discuss Isaiah Thomas's return to UW this Saturday, NBA All-Star Weekend, and some recent UW basketball and baseball news. But first, we'll throw it over to Alec for the UW Athletics Weekend Slate. What do you got?
Well, first off, the softball team came off a really good weekend. They started 5-0, hit 70 runs. 70-3.
That's pretty incredible.
Was the differential in five games.
Insane.
Kirsten Thomas, she's the player of the week by ESPN. Again, 70 home runs by the whole team. She knocked in 16
of
those.
Hold on. 70 home runs? 70 runs.
70 runs.
Nah. She locked in Barry Bonds.
You can just cut out the home
numbers. She hit Barry Bonds type numbers.
70 home
games.
Runs in five games. Incredible. Kirsten Thomas, player of the week. She knocked in 16 runs out of the 70 and scored 13 of her own. She hit .688 with a .737 on base percentage and a 1.0.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. And her slugging percentage was 1.813.
Oh, my goodness.
Incredible.
Incredible.
And Taryn Alvelo was named Pitcher of the Week in the Pac-12. So you could say they had a really good week. They'll go to Texas. They're actually on a 10-day road trip, so they go to Texas first and then Palm Springs. And this weekend they'll take on teams like Wichita State and Seton Hall. I'm not going to list them all out. The gymnastics team is going to take on Arizona State on the road. Baseball team opens its season on the road against Sacramento State. We'll go into that more later with Andy. The men's tennis team comes in as the 16th seed at the ITA Indoor Championships, where they'll take on the number one seeded Wake Forest Demon Deacons. So that'll be a good matchup for them. The women's tennis team, also on a roll, along with the men's team, will take on Northwestern and Illinois, both on the road. And then lastly, out of the Olympic sports anyway, the women's basketball team will take on Colorado tonight and Utah on Sunday, and both of those games are on the road.
All right, so moving on. Obviously, one of the biggest topics in Washington sports right now is that against Colorado on Saturday, Isaiah Thomas's number is going to be retired. Number two, what is it? Two to the rafters is the hashtag, I think.
One to remember. That's the title of my article.
Ooh, okay.
Go read it.
Shameless plug there from Chris.
Shameless plug. But humble plug.
In honor of Isaiah Thomas, we're going to talk about our favorite Isaiah Thomas moments. And so, Chris, since you wrote the article, we'll start with you.
First, just to add on, he'll be only the third UW Husky basketball player to have his number retired, behind Bob Houbregs and Brandon Roy. Legendary Brandon Roy. Unfortunate NBA career.
Well, we know Kelsey Plum's going to go up there pretty quick here.
Oh, that's very true.
Yeah.
But in terms of best Isaiah Thomas moments, we have to start with, obviously, the buzzer beater against Arizona in the Pac-12 championship. Clearly, maybe the defining moment of both his NBA and his UW career, I would think. I feel like it's the most iconic. I believe he had 28 points in that game. The buzzer beater was in overtime. Arizona, I think, had Derek Williams, who would go on to be the number two pick, I believe, in the NBA draft that year.
To the Timberwolves.
Isaiah played with CJ Wilcox and freshman Terrence Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a couple future NBA players. And as well as Matthew Bryan Amening, who I think plays in like Europe or something.
He plays in Europe right now, yeah.
As far as Isaiah Thomas moments go, there's really none better. Alec, I don't know. What do you got?
Yeah, that's the greatest moment, not only in, I think, Isaiah Thomas's career in basketball, but in UW history, period.
Yeah.
It's definitely up there.
No disrespect to Dom Green. That shot against Arizona was amazing at home.
I still watch the highlight.
Amazing shot, but he's got nothing on Isaiah Thomas. For the Pac-10 championship in 2011, everything on the line, step back, it's one-on-one ISO, and like no doubt without it, I mean, that's the greatest moment of his career and the greatest moment in Husky history. But because I want to roll with some other moments, he had a in-game dunk against Oregon at home in 2011 that was amazing. That was the whole like raise the roof picture where he did like the two arms up thing. Yeah, on the break, he ran off and just slammed home a dunk. It might have been the dunk of the year. Just to see a guy do a 5'9 guy dunk in game, like, other than Nate Robinson, you don't see that. So I thought that was one of his better moments for sure at UW.
No, but also going back to Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson gave Isaiah Thomas his blessing to wear his number two jersey all the way back in 2008. So obviously now that his number's getting retired, that's a pretty cool thing, I think, for both of them. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. For my favorite Isaiah Thomas moment, we're going to head to the NBA. With everything that's happened in his NBA career, especially recently with all the drama with the Cavs, it's kind of easy to forget what he's done. But I'm going to go to Game 2 of the Eastern Conference playoffs against the Washington Wizards. Isaiah Thomas dropped 53 points in an overtime win against the Wizards, who were honestly, until they ran into the Cavs, one of the Celtics' biggest threats. Mr. Fourth Quarter scored 29 points, and no other Celtics scored more than 15 in this game. But Isaiah had 53, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 18 of 33 on field goals. And in a head-to-head battle against John Wall, he won for the second night in a row because he played better than John Wall in game one, too. I think that was one of the most defining moments. It really cemented him as a great player in the East. Unfortunately, everything's kind of gone downhill for him since then, but that game is still one of the most incredible games to watch. 53 points. That's ridiculous.
In a playoff game.
In a playoff game, yeah. In overtime. Like, talk about clutch. Talk about big time. That's it right there.
Yeah, Isaiah was money. Not only that whole season for the Celtics. I mean, what, he finished fifth in MVP voting?
Yeah, fifth in MVP.
Averaged almost 30 points a game.
I mean, and I keep saying it. The guy's 5'9".
Yeah.
To average that many points a game in the NBA is nuts.
I mean, the odds were stacked against him from the beginning.
Yeah,
I mean, scouts. That's why he went 60th overall in the draft.
And let's be honest, he's a great story. Like, for any basketball shortcomings he might have just because he's short, like, he's such a great story. Drafted last in the pick that they call Mr. Irrelevant. If you look at the rest of his draft class, he's done more than most of them, and he was picked 60th overall. That's crazy. And then everything with his sister last year, she passed away in a car accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then for him to come out and play, and then he played injured in the game in the game three, I want to say, against the Cavs. I'm not sure, but he hurt his hip, but he came back anyways, probably made
tooth.
It worse.
Remember
and his tooth, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I remember that. That was nasty.
Yeah, but he's such a great story, and it's sad how things have happened this year. I hope he gets paid, but he's not going to make the money that he would have made based on last year. But yeah, I think especially with this weekend and everything that's going on, it'll be really nice to let him get away from everything that's going on in the NBA and for everyone to remember again why we loved Isaiah Thomas last year, why everyone loved Isaiah Thomas last year.
Oh, and every year before that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I think there's so many great Isaiah Thomas moments because he's such a storied player, but I think the 53 points has to be mine.
So also going on this weekend is the NBA All-Star slate of events. And we're going to start by talking about the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game. It's going to be Team Clippers and Team Lakers.
Yes, we are talking about the Celebrity Game.
We are talking about the Celebrity Game.
I'm so excited. The Celebrity Game is so much fun.
There's some great stuff. Like Team Lakers, Michael B. Jordan is one of the head coaches.
I've heard he's actually a solid basketball player.
Oh, like, yeah.
Name jokes aside, he's actually a solid basketball player.
We need Obama to come coach a game.
We need
Obama to come out.
Forget about coaching. I want Obama to play.
Yeah.
He had his Secretary of Education, I think it was, or Transportation or something like that, a couple years ago.
Oh, Artie Duncan?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's like a favorite at those All-Star Celebrity Games.
I mean, he's got fundamentals in the low postman, you know, like, you've seen some of his moves.
He's balling in the White House.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Wasn't it something like with Obama, every like couple days they'd go play basketball or something like that? Like the whole like cabinet goes and plays basketball or something?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I absolutely want to see Obama in this, but apparently not this year. Not this year.
But anyways, Team Lakers has notable celebrities like Caleb McLaughlin, who's on Stranger Things, Candace Parker for the WNBA's Los Angeles Sparks, my personal favorite, Rachel DeMita, my celebrity crush.
Rachel's awesome.
Rachel's great. Let me see, who else?
Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon's back again.
Yeah.
I don't think they can get him off of this if they want to anymore.
Tracy McGrady, NBA legend.
Chris Wu.
Nate Robinson, UW legend.
Nate Robb. That's Team Lakers.
Yeah, it's Team
Lakers. That's why I'm going with Team Lakers. Alec, what about you? What do you got?
I'm rolling with Team Lakers, too. I can't pick against Nate Robb and Tracy McGrady. That's an awesome dunking combo. I know, like, probably Nate Robb could probably dunk right now. I don't know if Tracy McGrady can still dunk.
Probably not.
I mean, Tracy McGrady's pretty tall.
He's pretty tall. He can't do what he used to be doing, that's for sure.
I mean, only Vince Carter can still do what he used to be able to do.
He's crazy. But yeah, I'm gonna roll with Team Lakers. I like Nick Cannon again. He's got that experience, you know. Maybe gunning for the MVP spot.
All right, Michael B. Jordan should play. He's not on the roster.
He might go in.
You never know.
I mean, remember Kevin Hart was like not participating, and then he like came in.
And then didn't win the MVP.
Did he?
I feel like every time he plays, he's won the MVP.
No, yeah. I think last year he, like, tried to come back in, or maybe it was the year before. Like, he was, like, out, but he's like, I'm coming out of retirement. He, like, came in, and they ended up losing.
I don't know. See, y'all are underestimating the reigning celebrity game MVP, Brandon Armstrong, with his impersonations of basketball players. I think him and Stephanie Dolson, who plays in the WNBA. They also got Paul Pierce coming out of retirement for the celebrity game.
You thought you was Kobe?
Man, can't do the truth like that.
They also got Common.
Yeah, Common's, they got Common.
Dude, and Common. Jason hey, Williams. Don't forget about White Chocolate.
Andre Degrassi. Hey, hold on. Is it Degrassi or Degrasse?
That I don't know. You're on your own on that one.
Degrassi?
Huh?
Andre Degrassi, the next generation.
I have no
He's
idea.
An Olympic sprinter.
Yeah, I was going to say the Olympic sprinter.
Just talk about Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, you could just not say that.
They also have Jamie Foxx, who's a baller. And I think you're all sleeping on Miles Brown, who from the ABC TV show Black-ish.
And he's got Anthony Anderson, so they got that combo.
I'm not expecting a lot from Anthony Anderson, if I'm being honest. But I think Miles Brown has some potential there. He was like, they let him be like one of the sideline reporters at the All-Star game last year, I think. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. That's what we
Let's be honest.
Sure.
The Celebrity All-Star Game is always fun to watch. We were talking about this before, but Bill Walton, I think he should come out of retirement and coach. But, you know, he needs a little redemption. But he obviously not this year, but.
He should play, too.
He should play.
Because he could talk the whole time.
Oh, absolutely. No, honestly.
Mic him up.
Yes, mic him up.
Mic him up.
You don't even have to play. Just let him be the broadcaster.
Yeah.
Tell him he's the play-by-play.
No, and everyone on Bill Walton's team has tie-dye jerseys.
Yes. I would watch that game in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And every time they score, like, someone, like, rings a glockenspiel.
Every time he scores, someone plants a tree.
There it is. Then it could go for a good cause. Dave Pasch versus Bill Walton.
Oh, as the coaches?
Let's go. That's Legendary. It right there.
Can Doris Burke be, like, the referee or something?
Yes.
Man.
I want to see Doris
Next
Burke.
Next year, NBA, I hope you're listening to this.
Yeah.
These are some brilliant ideas.
We got you some good ideas. All right, next up, we're going to be talking about the Rising Stars Challenge. So that's the first years, the rookies and the sophomores. It's going to be Team World featuring Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Jamal Murray, Lauri Markkanen against the U.S. team, which will feature guys like Jaylen Brown, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Donovan Mitchell. So we'll start with Chris on this one. Chris, who do you think is going to pull out? Is it going to be the U.S. team or the World team?
Well, just looking at these rosters right now, Team World looks like a more complete roster to me. Just with Ben Simmons, the all-star snub, Joel Embiid, even Buddy Hield, like Jamal Murray. There's really, really the possibilities are endless here. I don't think. There's a couple injuries on the U.S. team, obviously, Lonzo Ball and Malcolm Brogdon. And De'Aaron Fox the other night took a really hard fall. I don't know if anyone saw that. He was, like, bleeding from his head. So I don't know if that's going to influence his status at all, because considering it's, you know, the game doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But I think Team World takes it.
I actually like Team USA. I mean, you got some solid players there, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum from the Celtics playing together, and Ingram and Kuzma obviously play together with the Lakers. So you got some chemistry there already, and then Dennis Smith Jr. I'm disappointed. Lonzo Ball would have been fun to watch in this game, but I'm actually more disappointed that Malcolm Brogdon is hurt. I would have loved to have seen him run this team, but at the same time, Dennis Smith Jr. is so dynamic that, I mean, put him in charge of running any team, and I think that'll be exciting to watch. Chris Dunn can also run point, but they don't have a ton of 3-point shooting, which would be my biggest worry. And they don't have a big who can really play with Embiid.
What I really like about the U.S. team is the dunkers on it.
Yeah,
you got, and in a game like this, like, that's all you see. So you got Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell, Dennis Smith Jr.
Oh, I forgot
Jason
Donovan.
Tatum.
How could I miss Donovan Mitchell?
I mean,
rookie of the year candidate.
All those guys.
Favorite, probably.
Favorite.
Yeah. Ben Simmons. Yeah. I got Ben Simmons. We'll talk about that another time. But those four guys are probably the best dunkers in this whole competition. So that's going to be really exciting, but I think I agree. I think you look at the world team and the U.S. team, and no one's got an answer for Joel Embiid.
Yeah. That would be my biggest threat as Team USA.
Or even Ben Simmons.
Yeah, well, I think Kuzma could probably do some damage to Simmons.
Or maybe like, Brown.
He's big. Jaylen Brown, too, yeah. But, yeah, they don't have anyone big enough to play with Embiid in the low post. And they don't have a lot of three-point threat. Mostly slashers.
I think their biggest player is John Collins.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to tell me John Collins can play with Joel Embiid?
No.
Yeah. But I think that Team USA does have some dynamic wing players, and I think that could be where they get their edge. That's why I'm saying Team US, but yeah. I do like Lauri Markkanen, too. I feel like he's He's talked about, but he's had a solid season. And yeah. Him and Chris Dunn, actually, with the Bulls. Yeah. They're not as bad as I thought they were going to be.
They're still pretty bad.
They're not as bad.
Got good old Zach LaVine on there, too.
Oh, you see him post that guy in his first game?
Wait, no, did you see he won the game on a steal breakaway dunk?
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Hey, Washington product right there.
Yeah, awful.
From Alex's favorite city.
Is that your favorite city?
Wait, Alec, didn't you get dunked on by Zach LaVine?
Almost. I moved out of the way.
There we go.
I moved out of the way.
You're trying to take a charge, and then you're like, nope.
I saw him, and it was just me. It was like LeBron moving out of the way of KD or, you know, and back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not going to have any of it.
It was that James Harden level defense, you know.
Exactly.
You turn around, and then when no one else blocks him, you'd be like,
I'm not about
where's
to be,
the defense?
I'm not about to be Noah Dickerson standing in there and taking the charge. I'm not big enough.
He is a brave man, let's be honest. Also, wasn't it like Rex, so no one would have called a foul anyways?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yep, not having any of that.
Yeah. And that was Alex's sports highlight for the day.
Woo. Definitely.
It's all been downhill since then.
It's true.
Let's shift gears to All-Star Saturday Night events, starting with the Taco Bell Skills Challenge.
The worst event of the entire weekend.
Basically, the participants are Joel Embiid, Buddy Hield, Lou Williams, Andre Drummond, Al Horford, Lauri Markkanen, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Jamal Murray.
Drummond, why?
I don't know.
Why? Why? It's got to be like the clumsiest dude. Like, really?
Yeah. Most definitely. That's why I think he's going to win.
Because he's coming out of nowhere. Al Horford is in there too.
Well, Horford's skilled.
He's skilled, but let's be honest. I don't really want to watch this. Like, at least when he had, like, Boogie Cousins, that was funny. And when he dribbled the ball off his foot.
Yeah.
Like, but it's still Boogie. Like, he does a lot. Al Horford's just the most, like, generic player. Like, he's great solid at everything, but that's not what we want to see at the All-Star break. We want to see people go crazy.
But that's why I want to see Andre Drummond go crazy. I want to see him to dribble between the legs.
Andre Drummond's your pick?
How did Buddy Hield get in this? I don't understand.
He can do it.
Hold on. How salty would you be if you're Lou Williams? You get to be in the skills challenge where you didn't make it into the All-Star game.
Or the three-point contest.
Or the three-point contest.
He's in the skills challenge.
I'd be like, why am I here?
All right.
Just let me go on break, please.
Andy, who are you rolling with?
I'm going to go with Markkanen over Embiid. I think those are the front runners at the moment. I think Hield could win because I feel like this isn't – it's the skills challenge, but you don't have to have a huge amount of skill to win.
I think it's been like a big practice man every year too.
No, Gordon Hayward won last year.
Gordon Hayward won last year?
I think so.
Well, he's a forward.
He's a small, though.
He's a small forward.
I think Towns won the previous year.
He did. Yeah. I think Horford has a chance. I think Embiid will be the other competitor, but I've got Markkanen.
I'm going to roll with Jamal Murray. I think he's got the shot. I think he's a guard, so like you'd think they would have better skills than a big man. You would hope that he could make a three-pointer against Andre Drummond.
Andre Drummond shooting threes.
That's Chris's pick.
Oh, it's going to go in. Don't worry about it. You're laughing right now, but I'll be laughing next week.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I didn't pick him, so obviously then you have a chance.
That's right. That's true. Yeah, Andy, who's your pick again?
Markkanen.
Oh, yeah, he's losing.
Markkanen's done.
Yeah.
All right, so next up is the three-point contest. Your participants are Eric Gordon, Devin Booker, Klay Thompson, Bradley Beal, Wayne Ellington, Kyle Lowry, Tobias Harris, and Paul George. Andy, who you got?
I mean, this is actually a really stacked field. I'm going to be honest. The last couple of years, the three-point contest has been more exciting to me than the dunk contest has been. It's just so, especially since the game is now so reliant on three-point shooting. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, Klay Thompson is probably the favorite coming into this. Eric Gordon, I think, is the defending champion.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a bunch of other guys you're looking at. Paul George is really shooting well from three at the moment. I think he was down a little bit from last year, but he's back up there, back up to his best. And Devin Booker is so much fun to watch in anything. But I think I'm going to go with the defending champion. Eric Gordon has been so solid from three. He's one of the best shooters in the league. I mean, Klay Thompson has a chance of being the best shooter in the league, but I don't know how motivated he'll be to win this one again. He's already won before, and I think Eric Gordon has a little bit more of that edge. I'm pretty sure Alex's going to take Klay Thompson anyways, but I'm going to roll with the defending champ, Gordon. I think he looks real good from three. How about you, Chris?
Okay. Personally, I'm going to go with another gut feeling. Andre Drummond was my gut feeling in the skills challenge.
Oh, God.
My gut feeling now is Devin Booker.
Okay.
I have not watched really him play this year at all.
Because the Suns suck, yeah.
He's been injured, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why they got Elfrid Payton.
Oh, yeah, and he did really good against the Warriors.
He did play very well.
Almost dropped 30.
Yeah, he did.
Anyway.
His hair is legendary, by the way.
But no,
I didn't say legendary good. I just said
okay,
legendary.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, but literally, that's all I have to say. He scored. He had that huge performance against the Celtics last year. That's really the last time I've really seen him. But I still think, obviously...
Well, he dropped like 60 on him, right?
He did.
Was it like 70?
I thought he was like 70. Dropped a lot of points on someone this year, too.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Because they had that picture of him holding the piece of paper with the number, but I don't remember what the number was.
Yeah, he dropped a lot of points at one point. I know. He's a good shooter.
Yeah, he's a very good shooter.
Yeah. Like I said, I haven't seen anything from him this year, but I just have a gut feeling.
I will say, I like Kyle Lowry a lot, but I kind of wish that this was DeMar DeRozan, since DeMar DeRozan finally has a three-point shot. It would have been cool to see him in this instead of Lowry, but anyways. Now, just pick Klay Thompson. Get on with it.
Yeah. I'm actually going to roll with... Tobias, no, just kidding, Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I was about to say, what?
Nah, Klay's going to win. I think he has the temperament to stay cool and calm and collected. I think the forwards are really going to struggle in this. Like, I don't like Tobias Harris or Paul George.
I don't like Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris has been really good from three this year, but I don't think he has the stamina for this.
No, I just don't. And I don't like Paul George in this kind of event either. He's sort of a guy that needs to catch it in rhythm and shoot.
Yeah.
So I like Klay Thompson. I think he won 3 years ago. He won before Curry.
I thought he was...
Gordon.
No, I thought he won... Oh, you're right. He did win.
Yeah, it was Gordon last year, 2 years ago, Curry, and then Thompson, Klay. So I think Klay is going to come back, win this one, and probably retire from the contest.
Go out on top?
Yeah. So I think I got Klay. All right. He's the best shooter in the game right now.
In general, though, I'm super excited for this. Like, I can't wait to watch this. It's going to be fun.
With all that, let's go to the holy grail of NBA All-Star Saturday night. Historically, the slam dunk contest. The participants are Victor Oladipo, Donovan Mitchell, Larry Nance Jr., and Dennis Smith Jr. We'll start with Andy. What do you got?
I'm looking at this, and this is also a really, really fun-looking field. I haven't been excited about the dunk contest for a while because you just assume Aaron Gordon's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But this new field, I love me some Victor Oladipo. I think I've been hyping him up since he got drafted, and then he was a little underwhelming with the Magic. He got totally kind of emasculated by Russell Westbrook. I love Victor Oladipo, but... I'm going with Dennis Smith Jr. This kid is so fun to watch dunk.
All right.
You just watch him in the practice lines or in the games when he gets steals. He's so dynamic. I'm a fan of the shorter guys who can dunk, the Nate Robinsons, the Spud Webbs, the Muggsy Bogues kind of. I don't know. Can Muggsy Bogues dunk?
He was 5'3".
Yeah.
I don't know if he could dunk.
I don't know if
he could dunk. Spud Webb could.
He won a dunk contest.
And Nate Robb won it 3 times.
I'm a fan of those smaller guys who can dunk. Nate Robb, Spud Webb, obviously. And Dennis Smith Jr., he's not that short, but he still reminds me of one of those guys, and I think he's going to win.
I think Larry Nance is definitely the weakest link in this field.
Really?
I think seeing the... Well, one...
That was going to be my pick.
Sorry. All right, maybe you should go first then.
No, oh, yeah, I'm going Larry Nance.
All right.
That's it. Back to you.
All right. Well, I think he's an in-game dunker. I think he's amazing because it's like, wow, look, he dunked on KD or he dunked on, you know, whoever. But in a setting like this where, like, he's not dunking over someone or something like that, I think he's going to struggle.
I mean, he could have
props. You can dunk over anything you want.
All right, we'll see.
You can have KD stand there and dunk over him.
You can dunk over vehicles, teammates,
LeBron.
We'll see. We'll see if he's got some Blake Griffin in him.
Maybe LeBron, like, to encourage him, he'll be like, you can dunk on me in the dunk contest. Then people will finally get to see LeBron in the dunk contest. That's what everyone's been wanting, so...
I'm going to roll Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell? Okay.
Dude's got the best bunnies out of the whole rookie class right now. Some of the dunks he's been throwing down in-game have just been amazing. And the Utah Jazz are on like an 11-12 game win streak right now.
They're playing so well. Oh, my goodness.
They're playing really well.
Yeah, it's 10 or 11 now. Yeah.
And despite their trade of Rodney Hood and stuff.
Because Jay Crowder is not that bad. He just wasn't clicking in Cleveland. We're talking about the whole like talent loss. Like, I think... with the Cavs, then, like they got younger, they got more athletic, but I think their talent ceiling went down a little bit. I don't know. I think Larry Nance would have been my second pick.
Really,
honestly,
like, I really don't like Larry Nance.
He doesn't look like a basketball player. I think that's part of it.
I just he's not going to throw down like a windmill. You know what I mean?
Will. Yeah, he will. He will.
About?
What are you talking
I've
about?
I've never seen Larry Nance throw down a windmill. He dunks with like his arms straight up, like over someone.
Here's
like,
the that's thing: what he you've never seen time. It before, but you'll see it on Saturday.
All right. Ooh, okay, maybe he's got some Aaron Gordon or Blake Griffin in him.
I feel it.
I like Donovan Mitchell.
Kind of like below the legs or anything. Donovan Mitchell too. Like all these guys. I'm excited for this.
It's a stacked field.
It's a stacked field.
That's the only reason I don't like.
I kind of wish we could see Jordan Bell though. I wish he was healthy and that he had gotten selected because that would have been really fun.
I will also say that Larry Nance Jr., his, you know, the dunk contest runs in his family.
That is true.
Larry Nance, I think he won a slam dunk contest.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So it's a generational thing. He's just.
But he's going up against.
It's his destiny.
He's going up against Dennis Smith Jr., Mr. 360, and Victor Oladipo, and Donovan Mitchell. Like, that's a tough field. That's
a tough absolutely. Field. Whoever wins this dunk contest will have deserved it, no question.
Oh, yeah.
Prop bet here. He's going to wear his dad's jersey on one of his dunks.
Ooh, that's
that
cool.
That's actually a really good. That's a really good bet. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Heard it here first, folks.
Heard it here first.
Probably not.
You never know. That'd be a great tribute.
If so, it's same with Andre Drummond winning. I will be laughing in all of your faces.
Andre Drummond is not winning the skills challenge, but okay.
Oh, no.
All right. Now onto the real game.
All-Star game.
I'm guessing almost 200 points. No defense at all.
Yeah. Oh, it's going over 200 points.
Yeah. Over 200 points.
Injuries have decimated LeBron's team, though.
I'm DeMarcus really sad
Cousins,
about that.
Davis,
because
Porzingis, Wall.
Because I had LeBron's team winning.
Yeah.
And yeah, Porzingis too.
Who do you got now?
Do you say Porzingis? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I said all of them. Yeah.
Who do you got now, Andy?
Yeah, obviously LeBron's team has been decimated by injuries, like you said. If he didn't have Goran Dragic as his team, if he had Ben Simmons and Goran Dragic's place, I would totally still stick with Team LeBron, and I'm gonna stick with Team LeBron. I love that LeBron-KD connection. And also, I really like Oladipo, Russell Westbrook and Paul George playing together, just like they do in the game. I mean, I just trashed Goran Dragic, but he has deserved an all-star place in the past, so it's nice for him to get that recognition. And I love me some cardiac Kemba. That man has handles and he can shoot. He needs to get out of Charlotte, but besides that, I think this, despite all the injuries, I think Team LeBron still has a chance.
I'm taking Team Stephen.
Yeah.
The depth just looks way better now on Team Stephen. You know, you got Klay Thompson, Karl Anthony Towns, Damian Lillard, who just torched the Warriors.
I do love me some Dame Dallas.
So, obviously, they have Giannis, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Joel, yeah, the process, the Draymond. Process.
They got everyone.
They got everybody.
James Harden, Al Horford, even though we know Al Horford's lame, like, he's going to play well.
The most generic player, as Andy
he's
said.
He's lame, we know. Karl Anthony Towns.
A better-than-average stock player.
The good thing about LeBron losing Love and getting Andre Drummond is that he's got someone off the bench that can deal with Karl Anthony Towns.
He's also going to have the Skills Challenge winner.
God, stop talking about that.
You're jinxing him now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got Giannis, Jimmy Buckets, DeMar DeRozan, Joel Embiid, Draymond, James Harden, Damian Lillard, who just torched the Warriors, Klay Thompson.
I said that.
Yeah, I'm restating what you said, all right? Leave me alone. Team Curry all the way. I got him by double digits.
Double digits,
double
okay.
Digits. Double digits.
That's some confidence right now.
Are we getting, what, the 180s, 190s, 200s?
Ooh. Are we picking like an over-under?
How are we going?
It's going to be
185.
Over, under 185?
Combined?
Or per team.
Team?
Yeah.
I'm going over.
You're going over 185? Yeah, I'm going to go over.
Well, they're doing it for charity this year, so there might be defense. And they're getting like a pay increase.
Are they?
Wait, what's the charity element of it? Like in terms of
whoever teams win,
the NBA gives money for charity.
Oh, okay.
But the players are getting paid more if they win now. So we might get defense.
Ooh,
I don't really want to see defense, though. Everyone talks about how bad the NBA All-Star game is, and, like, it's not the funnest thing to watch, but I don't know if I want to see it. Like, I would have loved to have seen Steph Curry complete his dunk off the backboard last year, but then Giannis blocked him, and it was kind of sad.
Yeah, that's why I picked Giannis this year.
Yeah, I know.
Can't be having that.
Especially because, Curry was mic'd up last year for the game, and he was like, by the way, can we have all the players mic'd up? That would be hilarious. Curry was like, that was my one chance, man. But, yeah, I don't know.
So now that we got our NBA All-Star picks out of the way, let's shift gears into more UW Athletics, more specifically baseball. Andy, I know you wrote the baseball preview, so take us through the outlook, I guess, for UW baseball season. What should we expect?
This is going to be a very interesting season for UW. They have a strong returning core of players, especially in the infield. They're going to obviously be building around Willie McIver. He was their best player last year, probably, like statistically, the only player to start all 54 games. He was recruited as a catcher, but moved to third base last year to get more time because Joey Morgan was the catcher last year, and he led the team in basically every statistical category that is important. But this year, McIver is actually moving across the diamond to first base to fill the hole left there by John Knaff, who graduated as well. Replacing him at third will be the sophomore Ben Baird. He was recruited as a shortstop, but Coach Meggs told me that they've always been planning on moving him over to third. He's tall. They really liked his fall camp. They thought he had a great preseason. And so As of now, he will be the starting third baseman. And then up the middle, they've got two Pac-12 honorable mentions in Levi Jordan and A.J. Graffanino, both of whom are two of the best defensive players in the conference. This is definitely Jordan's last year because he will graduate this year. And MacGyver and Graffanino, along with Jordan, will probably get drafted this year. So next year will be kind of a rebuilding season. That's who they're going to build the team around for sure. Players that like are probably up and coming. They have a freshman corner infielder named Jordan Schiffer who plays first and third. So he could see some action, whether it's because MacGyver wants to catch still. So when MacGyver's catching, he could play first. Christian Jones might also see some time at first base. Shortstop will probably be backed up by Nick Roberts, the sophomore. He got a lot of time backing up Levi last year because Levi he hurt his hamstring somehow and missed the last seven games. So Nick had some time there, but they'll probably move him to short for this season to back up AJ. And then we'll probably see the freshman Noah Sue backing up Levi at second base. In the outfield, they lost a lot of talent this year. They lost Jack Meggs, who is the head coach's son. He was a 4-year starter. They lost Kyle London, who's the starting left fielder. And they lost MJ Hubbs, the home run leader last season. To replace them, they're bringing back KJ Brady, who is a senior this year. He had a kind of weird season because he had a great season as a sophomore. Then last year as a junior, he kind of struggled. But this year, they're hoping with his leadership and everything that he'll be able to really contribute to the team. He's probably looking at either leadoff or late in the order spot in the batting order. He's going to play in right because they like his arm. Then in left field, they're looking at this transfer kid named Mason Cerrillo. He's actually a former Cougar, but he will come into the spot. He hit really well for Bellevue last year. After Wazoo had their coaching change, he went to Bellevue
College.
Yeah, and then he was actually an all-league player for them, hit like 350. So he'll probably get that initial start in left. We could also see Christian Jones play there. Nick Kale, who will play catcher when MacGyver's playing first, can also play some left field because they really like his bat, so they want to keep him in the lineup somewhere. And in center field, they're actually looking at a freshman. This is one of the fastest kids in the class of 2017, Braden Ward. He's a converted shortstop from California, but he's really, really fast, and Meggs was telling me, actually, that this is one of the fastest teams he's ever coached, so expect a lot of base stealing from the Huskies this year. In terms of pitchers, Joe Demers is the undisputed ace this season. He'll take over for Noah Bremer, who's the MLB.
So is he going to start the games? Because I know Bremer was normally the second guy in.
That's a good question. So last season, after Josh Brugman, their closer, got hurt, the team experimented a lot with throwing a reliever for the first two innings and then putting in Bremer or Demers and letting them try and finish the game. This season, they're going back to regular. They're going to be healthy this season. They're mostly relying on Alex Hardy because Brugman's still out. So they're mostly going to rely on Alex Hardy until Brugman comes back. They're also looking at Lucas Knowles, who is a redshirt because he had a Tommy John as a senior in high school. So he'll be coming back from that, which gives them another boost. And then Leo Nierenberg will also be a key piece in the bullpen for them. He had a little bit of trouble with the long ball last year, but, I mean, another year of Pac-12 baseball under his belt, he's going to be looking solid. Otherwise, Chris Michaels and Jordan Jones will be the other starters, and that's pretty much the outlook of the team. Experts are kind of split on where they're going to finish. Some of them have them finishing as high as maybe fourth. Others have them finishing as low as seventh, which is where they finished last season in the Pac-12. Because the Pac-12 is such a competitive league right now. But a lot of people are expecting them to make the regionals, which is really good news for them. They're really disappointed after missing out last season. So, yeah, that's your outlook for the team this year. It'll be an interesting year for sure.
Do you see them making regionals? I mean, I know in the Pac-12 you have to compete with the Oregon State, who's probably in line for another national championship, UCLA,
yeah,
all that kind of deal.
Oregon State lost in the national championship to Florida last year. But it really depends how well they play against those like traditional baseball teams. They're going to have to not avoid losses against OSU, UCLA has a really strong pitching staff this year, and Stanford is always a power. I think the key series is going to be when they play Cal, because Cal is the team that everyone has us switching with. Like, we're going to be neck and neck, and everyone gives the edge to Cal. So when the Huskies travel down to Berkeley, that'll be a big series for them. But if they can take some games, avoid losses like they did last year, then that could then they could have a real good season. Arizona is another school that's pretty good in the Pac-12, so.
And they're opening up against a pretty experienced Sacramento State team.
Yeah.
What do you make of that matchup?
Yeah, Sac State, they're the holding WAC, so Western Athletics Conference Division. They also went to the regionals last year for the second time in their history. They're returning a really strong core of players. What I'm looking at with them, though, is after the first game, they'll throw when they throw their ace. The next three games against them, they don't have a lot of pitching depth, like starter depth. So I think that's where the Huskies could pick up some wins. The biggest issues the Huskies are going to have is scoring runs this year. That's always the issue. Megs likes to build his teams around defense and fielding, or
pitching.
Defense and pitching. They look solid in all of those areas. It's just a matter of how many runs they can score. So they're going to need some guys to really step up at the plate this year. But if they can do that, then the season could be a very strong one for the Huskies.
And moving on to our last topic of discussion. The UW basketball team obviously had a rough time in the state of Oregon last weekend. Chris, what did you see from that trip?
Most certainly very rough, considering the two wins that we got against the two Arizona schools at home. Obviously, we all watched it together. We all saw just the just the absolute travesty, especially for the Oregon game, the 65-40 loss. I feel like passes just weren't crisp.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, but yeah. Shots weren't extremely smart. I know the first possession of the game, I think, ended in a shot clock violation for UW. And the last
kind of signaled how the game was going to go.
Yeah. And then at the end, David Crist missed a wide open dunk at the buzzer. So it was sort of like the icing on the cake to probably the worst night of the season. It happens to the best of us. Oregon State, obviously the Oregon State game, they were able to get more of an offensive flow going, getting it into Dickerson and things like that. Obviously have a double-digit lead in the second half. Unfortunately, they weren't able to hold it. It goes into double overtime. And Thompson hits another game winner. The second straight
man
at Gill. So that was unfortunate.
It's cursed.
It's very cursed. So I guess looking ahead to Colorado, the last time that UW played Colorado, it was on the road. The Huskies snagged 50 rebounds as a team.
It's also the only loss in conference Colorado has had to a Pac-12 opponent.
At home.
At home.
Oh, their only home Pac-12
loss.
They're
like, I want to say 11-2 at home, and their only conference loss was to the Huskies at home.
Yeah, but I mean, Noah Dickerson has been unstoppable since then. He's averaged 20.2 points and 10.4 rebounds in the five games since the first Colorado game. But rebounding has sort of been inconsistent up in the air. Obviously, Sam Timmons only averages, I think, 5.4 rebounds. I think Coach Hopkins wants guys like Noel and Thibault to grab more rebounds so they can start going in transition and starting the offense faster. I think that's when they're the most successful. Obviously, again, the key is to contain George King and McKinley Wright for Colorado, because those are the two main scorers. They did a pretty good job the first time in containing them, obviously. But they've had better games as of late since the first UW game, so it should be a pretty competitive matchup. But the fact that it's a home game for UW should tip it in their favor, in considering it is the Isaiah Thomas jersey retirement game.
Also, I think Colorado's like 1-7 on the road.
Yeah, so there's, you know, the odds are stacked against Colorado, I would say, quite a bit.
But then the odds were also probably stacked against OSU, so
it's true. But again,
that's why we play games, right?
Gill is cursed. That place is cursed.
It's a curse. It's a cursed venue. Yeah.
What is Arizona State's football stadium?
Yeah. Yeah, don't even talk about the state of Arizona to me.
But yeah, I'd say, you know, because of those two Oregon losses, Washington really has to, they maybe only,
they have to win out.
Yeah,
now
they have to win out, basically.
They have to win out at
maybe
home.
Lose one. Yeah, they definitely have to win out at home. They have to go on the road to Stanford and Cal.
They have to win that Cal game.
They have to win the Cal
They'll
game.
They'll win the Cal
game. Or else it's done. It's just done.
You heard me knock on wood.
You got to knock on wood. You heard it here first. But yeah, so the outlook, as long as they can go 4-1 in the last five games, I think they should be good. They should elicit consideration from the committee, but it remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think that Oregon weekend was rough. And Chris, you've been around the team more than I have. They've sort of experienced a lot of highs this season. You know, went over then number two Kansas, went over Arizona, all those kind of things. And this is really the first time this season. I mean, they got blown out by Gonzaga and Virginia Tech, but this is the first time they get blown out by Oregon, and then they lose on a buzzer beater in the next game. Like, how have they responded to that?
I don't know. It was just very unexpected. I think it just came out of left field for everybody. Obviously, again, Isaiah Thomas is coming to town, so hopefully that rejuvenates them. Because obviously, the Gonzaga game, you know, they're Gonzaga. They're going to give you their best, and they just sort of
Is really good.
Yeah, they proved it early in the year that UW wasn't quite there yet at that level. But obviously against Arizona State, they proved they could. So as long as they can get back up to that level the last five games, I think they should be good.
I think as long as it doesn't turn into one of those things. When I was covering volleyball earlier this year, like the volleyball team was really good at getting up for those ranked games. Like against good teams, they were playing really well. But then against the non-ranked teams, they're just kind of sitting back. And then all of a sudden, oh, wow, we got upset by Illinois in the tournament. So I think as long as they can avoid falling into that kind of a trend, because that's a very bad place to be, then I think they should be all right.
Yeah, they close out the season against Oregon and Oregon State. So
there's a shot of revenge.
How far they've come in the last couple weeks.
And you're at home for those games.
Yeah, so definitely. Dogpack should be fully behind them.
Should pull out a win. Should.
That's really the key. Should.
If not, I mean, if they lose twice or three times in the coming weeks, they have to win the Pac-12 tournament.
They have to count on the Pac-12 tournament to get them in.
Or at least make it to the championship game. Yeah. You know, they'll have to show up.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is that if they get to the Pac-12 tournament, they've proved they can beat Arizona State, Arizona, USC.
And UCLA they kept up with for most of the game.
For most of the game. They had a double-digit lead in the second half. They just all fell apart late in the second half.
So they can do it.
Yeah.
They beat Kansas. I mean, they've shown they can compete with the best of them. But they've also shown that
they can turn off against the worst of them.
Yes. Well, and even Gonzaga and like Virginia Tech, lost by 30 or 20 or something. So
yeah,
a bit inconsistent this season. But when they're playing well, the zone's working, all that kind of thing, I mean, I think they could beat just about any team in the country. Because there's really no like Kentucky this year with Anthony Davis, you know, where they're going to win every game. So I think, honestly, there's not a team in the country that's safe from the Huskies when they're playing well.
Yeah. Get like Trae Young in Oklahoma or something like that. Or like even Virginia is now the number one team in the country.
Yeah, and Virginia's just
they just don't.
I mean, they're good defensively and that kind of thing, but they're not like Anthony Davis and then, in Kentucky like that one
and
year.
And then Duke and NC aren't playing great either.
Duke just lost to who they lose to just the other week.
St. John, right?
Yeah, they got
St.
like
John.
Upset.
Hey, St. John won like four games in a row after that. They upset another team.
Yeah, so too. And North Carolina's not anywhere near where they used to be. I mean, these teams are going to be good in the tournament because they've been there before.
Yeah, but who's it? Colin Sexton plays for Alabama, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They look surprisingly good considering that's Alabama. It's not a basketball school.
Because they have Colin Sexton.
Yeah, so. I know.
Yeah,
but I think they could be a threat. They're not getting a lot of media coverage either because like everyone's obsessed with Trae Young.
Yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah, his defense is not good. Also, he doesn't shoot a good percentage.
He's a volume shooter,
Yeah. But, come tournament time.
Hey, that's the whole point. Like, once you get in the tournament, anything's possible. But it's going to be a hairy couple last weeks for UW basketball fans coming down the stretch.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely.
Well, and I think everyone felt pretty confident they were going to make the tournament. Yeah, we just beat two ranked teams at home. Like,
As long as
we totally don't blow this Oregon weekend, like, we'll be pretty good.
And then they totally blew the Oregon weekend.
Yeah.
It's one thing to lose to Oregon. It's another to get blown out by 25.
Yeah.
And then it's one thing to lose to Oregon State, but just double overtime on a buzzer beater. I mean, that's
that hurts.
Just killer.
That hurts.
So hopefully they can respond against Colorado and these next couple teams.
Well, because they have to.
Yeah,
their season depends on it. So
that's for sure.
Yeah.
It'll be fun, though. That's why they play the game.
Yep. And just to be in the discussion, honestly, is good for the Huskies.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
All right. That wraps up our show today. Thank you for listening to the Box Seat Podcast. This has been Alec Dietz,
Andy Yamashita,
and Chris Sankiko. If you want to join the conversation on Twitter, please tweet us at Box Seat Podcast. Thanks again, and we'll see you next Friday.
Did you know Peruvians have their own type of Chinese food? Or that Vietnamese food is heavily influenced by French cuisine? Have you ever wondered what other cultures' junk food is like? Explore these topics and more right here on the Soundbite Network. My name is Dee Dee Madigan, and I'm the host of Home Plates, a podcast all about food. Catch up on the first season of Home Plates on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, and Stitcher. New episodes air every Wednesday.
For more like this and other great shows covering sports, science, relationships, and the arts, visit the Soundbites website, uwpodcast.com. That's uwpodcast.com.